That can make dating someone who isn't part of your faith-based social circle difficult. And that's not counting the difficulties that arise from your different levels of devotion. First of all, not forget about the premise of the whole thing, but here is a quick first question. What devotion? This person said an unbeliever. Well, then this is, I get a little bit into the letter, then it is, I'm going to skip quite a bit. But yes, the one that goes to me. He said, if your schedules are too cramped to fit in more time than you already have, look for ways to compromise. Maybe you can make small scheduling sacrifices to get more time. For instance, you could skip Bible study every other week, and he could skip poker night. Needless to say, that's all I want to say. You hear that, that's from the devil. It could come from any other person, even though this person claims to be a Christian advisor. Who under his or her right mind can tell a believer to skip Bible studies for anything? You must know it's from the devil, and that's the territory. So with that in mind, and showing how the devil can do things and how it can come with the codes, with the facade of Christianity to confuse and deceive those who are not well informed. So we come to the issue that you shouldn't let the devil get you. We have considered the first element in maintaining friendship or fellowship with God that is expressed in the first major command of this section, which is to submit to God. The second element in maintaining friendship with God is standing our grounds against the devil. This element is given in the second major command of this section of the verse we are looking at, who in the next expression is resist the devil. Resist the devil. Now there is a sense that this command is a negative way of expressing the first command. Now positively, we are required to submit to God by obeying Him. When we do, we certainly have ignored or resisted the devil. And really, in resisting the devil, what you see is that the believer has avoided the satanic system. In effect, resisting the devil is one side of the coin, with the other side being submitting to God. Now James probably could have skipped this particular negative command altogether and not damage his teaching, because this second negative is implied in the first one. However, because he's dealing with friendship with God or friendship with the world, it becomes important for him to issue a negative command to reflect that the person who is a friend of God indeed stands in opposition to the devil. Now there is certainly other reasons why James gives this negative command, one of which is to let us know that we could stand our grounds against Satan, who after all is a bully. We could come in front of Christ on this issue of being a bully later on. Now all of our modern popular English versions render this expression the same way as the NIV. In other words, resist the devil. Now this is either because they followed the Greek manuscripts that omitted a particle that means in English either but or to the contrary, or that they treated that particular particle as a transition, and therefore they did not translate it. However, it seems to me that the original manuscripts must have contained this little particle, as there would have been no reason for a copyist to remove the particle because of any reason that we can find. Even if the original contained it, what we start thinking? Yes, this a person cannot say, well, I'm not going to insert it if it's causing a problem. Now, in fact, really, if you look at the whole thing, the particle we think is contrary to the original, but somehow because of the awkwardness of the verse with that particle, a copyist might have decided to remove it. In fact, it is much easier to see that even from the Latin Vulgate, which is generally a good copy of the original text, it has the readings that reflect the use of that Greek particle, which is now translated in our English, popular English versions. So following what we have believed, or what we said, that particle must be the original, then we have to say that the first part of what I read, resist the devil, should be translated something like this. To the contrary, resist the devil. To the contrary, resist the devil. Now, why do I make an issue of this particle that I translated to the contrary? It is because of its impact in the flow of instruction that Jesus gives. You see, he has identified two objects of friendship: God or the world under Satan. So when we encourage the believer that he should cultivate friendship with God through obedience to him, then it becomes important for James also to highlight the enemy of God, Satan, but with a contrasting attitude of the believer towards Satan. There then, of course, is the importance of the contrasting particle that James used. In effect, James is saying, on the one hand, that the believer should submit to God, but on the other hand, he should rebel against Satan. Now, there are definitely two attitudes that characterize human beings in general with respect to the spiritual realm, which are submission and rebellion. Rebellion is a good thing when directed towards Satan, but a terrible thing if directed towards God. So the point of the contrast is that James wants us to remember that if we rebel against God, we have become the enemy of God while trying to be friend to Satan. Now I know that no Christian will want to be called a friend of Satan, but that is precisely the point of James. If we do not rebel against Satan, then we will become his friend. For we cannot submit to God and at the same time rebel against him. Submission and rebellion are mutually exclusive. Therefore, if we submit to God, then we must be in rebellion against Satan. Now, how is it then that we use the word rebellion here when the command says resist the devil? Resist the devil. Why do I have to use the word rebellion? Well, it is because the word resist is translated from a Greek word that also means to oppose or to rebel. To be hostile towards someone, we can also use words that mean withstanding or standing one's ground in trying to translate the Greek word used here. However, I have chosen the word to rebel primarily because it is the opposite of obedience. We submit to God, through obedience, so it makes sense that we resist Satan or the devil by rebelling against him and his system as we live in this world that is controlled by him. Now, rebellion is an attitude that one shows towards a given authority by rejecting the system that authority has set up. Now, many people think that it is always sinful to rebel. No, not really so. If the system is evil, then it is right to rebel against that system. Now, it is true that many people don't realize that, but that's what James implies in this command. Resist the devil. Rebel against the devil. The devil has a system that comprises of ways of thinking and acting that are contrary to God's word. Hence, it is the duty of the believer to live with hostile attitude towards the satanic system. Now, the reality is that no believer can serve God and Satan at the same time. A concept that our Lord himself emphasized in his teaching on that Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, Matthew 6, verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, because of this profound truth that our Lord taught, that is, that you cannot serve two masters at the same time, then it is impossible to be friends to two opposing systems. You could only be a friend to God and therefore enemy to Satan. Hence, if we submit to God, the implication is that we will have to be viewed as rebels. Now you see, if you refuse to follow the word of this war system, then the world and the Satan itself will see you as a rebel if you don't follow his system, because you live in a world by which he controls. And so if you don't follow the rules and the systems, everything he's put in, well, he sees you as a rebel. So does the world around you. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Now suppose you live in a society that focuses on class distinctions. Now, in such a society, one who is in a higher class is not supposed to marry from a lower class. But let's just say a Christian who is in a higher class marries a Christian, another believer, in a lower class. Now, how do you think they will view that? The world system of that society will see that person as a rebel. Whereas, as far as God is concerned, the person did the right thing. Because it is God's word and God's command, believers must marry believers only. Yet, human beings have chosen to put all kinds of restriction upon themselves instead of what does the world say. And so here, if a person does that, the world sees him or her as a rebel. So you see, Satan sees anyone that does not conform to the standard, to the practices of the world system that he has set up as a rebel in this world. Now, better be regarded as a rebel and be regarded as a friend with God. So then, any event, the instruction is that we must maintain pressure with God, then, if that is the case, we must resist Satan in the sense of rebelling against his system. Now, by the way, the word devil is translated from a Greek word that means an adversary or a slanderer. Now, it is this Greek word that is used in the Septuagint to translate a Hebrew word that has come down to us in the English as Satan. Satan is not an English word. It is a transliteration of a Hebrew word. And that's how it's come down to us, Satan. Now, hence, the title devil is really used to describe Satan, who is the adversary of both God and man. Now, the Greek word translated devil implies that the work of Satan is concerned with separating man from God. So, we will use the word Satan or devil interchangeably, since it is a title that refers to that supernatural being that is over all the fallen angels and also who is an arch enemy of God and the believer. So we should use the word Satan in that way, or the devil. It all talks about the same person. Now, James' command is that we should resist Satan as he attempts to separate us from God, so as to make us God's enemy. There's nothing that Satan loves more than anything than to make you and I God's enemy. He wants us to be God's enemy, because if you're an enemy to God, which we can become, depending on those say, well, I'm a believer. No, you can be a believer and be an enemy of God. Otherwise, this command would have been given to us. If we do not have the possibility of being an enemy to God, we will have this in the Bible. So the fact is, Satan loves to make you and I an enemy of God. The part of what he does is, by doing so, he cut off every blessing that can flow from God. Because God cannot allow his blessings to flow to an enemy, even though we are his children. But once we rebel against him, that will not happen. So what then does it mean to resist Satan? And how does one go about doing it? Now, because many Christians are deceived in this respect about what it means to resist Satan, we should state that resisting the devil is not casting out demons, as many Christians try to do today. It is not even speaking out words that is a fake threat of Satan should get away from someone. They will do that, and we have known, at least in, there have been recorded histories of people who dealt with the devil by throwing inkwell and all that, and so on and so forth. Well, what we have here is a little more than that. So it's not those empty gestures that in effect say that Satan, you should get away from me. Or in the sense of people saying, well, I'm going to do everything in my power to use this gesture to drive away demon or keep fighting the demons. No, it's much more than that. Instead, really, to resist Satan or the devil means to reject any thought, any behavior patterns that originate from Satan. That's basically what it comes down to. To reject any thought, behavior patterns that originates from Satan. This means that a person is actively rejecting any thought or suggestions that come from Satan, but also that this person is aggressive in avoiding anything that will imply compliance to the practices of the world system. Hence, resisting the devil implies a fierce attitude of opposing anything that is false. When a person resists the devil, he will never accept any suggestion that comes from Satan. Now, the idea of resisting the devil may appear quite general to us, the way I've explained it. So let me mention some of the specific things that we are to resist. So you know part of what you are to resist, so that it means that you're resisting the devil. First, we should resist the tendency of bitterness because of hardship of this life. James, after all, has already warned us against this in chapter 1, verse 2. So, you will find in your life occasions, people, things that will give you that tendency to get bitter. You must resist that tendency. Get away from it. Reject it. Say, no, the word of God does not permit me to be bitter. Secondly, we should resist the tendency of doubting God and His word. In other words, we should resist the tendency of hearing the word of God and ignoring obeying it. That we must resist. Because James already also addressed that in the first chapter from verse 22 to 25, telling us how we should act once we hear that word. Once that mirror is given to us, you recall something we said in that respect, that none of us sees his or her face. Now, if there were no mirror on this planet, you would never know what you look like. And you wonder why. Think about it. As I tried to explain last time, think about it. How come I can see every part of my body except my face? Well, it's said that somebody could see it and tell me something about it. Right? In the same way, it symbolizes something. There is no way you can see what's inside your soul. Of course, you can feel it by your action, but you truly cannot see it. So you have to have a mirror on the outside that will let you see what your soul looks like. And that mirror, the Word of God. So that we it will cause us to see what we don't see. Left to us, we don't see those imperfections. But once you see the mirror, you recognize the imperfections. So really, we must resist anything that will cause us to hear the word and not believe it. Or to hear the word and not want to use it. But we should resist any temptation of being prejudiced against anyone. As this is one subtle way that the devil attacks us. James had already warned against that. Recall in the second chapter from verses 1 through 13, that's all he was warning us about. Prejudice. So we should be on our guard. It can come in very softly and we must resist it. Otherwise, if we fall into it, we go right back into the satanic system, become an enemy of God and a friend of the devil. And I believe no believer wants to be it. None that way. First, we should resist the temptation to live and to act independent of God. To live and act independent of God. Now, there is usually the temptation to think that we are self-sufficient, that we must resist that. We are prone to this temptation where we think about our self-sufficiency instead of dependence on God. Fifth, following the same way, the same line, we should resist the thought of self-importance. Self-importance. For you see, when we are filled with self-importance, we will not submit to God's word. And we will not care about others either. The thought of self-importance will cause us to reject truth, taught by those who have the gift. And so we seek, of course, to establish ourselves as authoritative teachers against the warning of James that we saw in the second chapter. Sixth, the devil will present us opportunities whereby entertainment, power, and wealth will become more important than obedience to God's word. That, fellow believers, we must resist. Now, we mention these six things to help us in a practical way and remember some of the thoughts and actions that, if avoided, would mean that we have resisted the devil. However, the Bible has much more to say in this regard. Therefore, the more you study the Bible, or the more we study it, or the more you hear it taught to you, the more you discover further schemes or traps that the devil uses or that will present before you in order to distract you from fellowship with God. So this is why no believer can afford to be slack in studying the word of God. The truth of the matter, we don't even study it enough. And when we do, we uncover several things. Now, as to the question of how one goes about resisting the devil, the answer was already given in the first command of James chapter 4. In other words, the way we resist the devil is simply to be obedient to God's word. If we obey God's word continuously, then we will have no room for Satan to carry out his devilish work, as we say. Hence, we'll be resisting him. Now, as we mentioned, the importance of learning the word of God and applying it in connection with submitting to God, so also it is by learning the word of God and applying it that we are able to resist the devil. So let me be clear as to how resisting the devil is worked out in our daily living. Let's see it in a little more practical way. Now, Satan generally presents us with thoughts or ideas that are contrary to the word of God. Now, sometimes it is difficult to know if an idea or a thought is from Holy Spirit or from Satan. Therefore, when an idea comes into your mind, you should do well to filter that thought through God's word. For example, we'll ask ourselves how that particular thought reveals the character of God or shows anything about God. We quickly ask ourselves, what will be the result of carrying through that thought? What the particular thought is? What will result if I carry it through? Is it going to show that God is holy? That God is righteous? That God is gracious? Or that God is just? Will carrying through that thought help me to advance in my spiritual life or that of another believer? If we answer no to these questions, then such thought or idea could not be from God. Once we have determined that an idea is not of God, then we rebel against it by rejecting it. And as soon as we do, we have actually resisted the devil. So we resist the devil by rejecting or saying no to his suggestions. Now, our Lord himself clearly demonstrated how we go about doing this. During his temptation, see, Satan offered our Lord himself three different suggestions during that temptation. And we will study those in detail, or if the Lord permits somehow, when we get to Luke chapter 4. So I'm not going to really go into that now, except just to mention it, that Satan did that. He gave our Lord several suggestions. But each time, the Lord resisted the suggestion by quoting the scriptures. Hence, it should be clear that the best way to resist Satan is to arm ourselves with the true knowledge of the scripture. True knowledge of the scripture. Now, I use the word true knowledge of the scripture because of the fact that Satan is capable of quoting the scripture and quote the Bible out of context, as of course he did in his temptation with the Lord. Now there's something about that's strange about the Bible that many people fall victim to. So you can make any verse of the Bible say what you think you want it to say, but that doesn't mean it's right. See, every part of the Bible must be interpreted within a context to get the actual meaning. And if you leave that context, then you can make the Bible say what it doesn't say. And that's what many people fall victim to. And that's why we use the expression here, a true knowledge of the scripture. That is the correct understanding of it. Therefore, if a person does not have a true knowledge of the scripture, the devil could deceive him by false application of the scripture. He tried that with the Lord, and the Lord told him no. Quoted, corrected him, so to say. Now, Satan cannot be resisted by human logic or reasoning. He is not afraid or impressed with our intelligence, since, after all, he has a superior intelligence to all of us. No, there is only one thing that he could not stand, and it's called the Word of God, correctly applied. So it is no wonder that the Apostle Paul, in addressing the same concept of standing up to Satan, indicates that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17, we're getting into the middle of a text that's dealing with the same concept as what James is dealing here. We have to do with resisting the devil, because that's our soul, one of our functions on this planet. He says, Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, you think about it. He says, there's only one weapon you and I have really in that respect. It's called the Word of God. It's not our thinking. That's the only thing that you and I have against the devil. In the spiritual warfare in which we're all involved in, there's only one thing that we can use in that respect, and that is the Word of God. There are other things that come in, but the primary thing here is the Word of God. So you see why the devil has attacked the Word of God more than anything. You see why? There are very few Christians who know anything about that word. You see why? The churches are neglecting the Word of God, giving it a window dressing or a lip service. And you know who is behind it? The devil. Because he knows if you arm yourself with the Word of God, you pose a threat to his kingdom on this planet. And he said he does not like those who can load their soul with that truth. And that is why, you know, most cases, it comes across from smart remarks coming out of people's mouth. Oh, he talks about it in the Bible. Oh, he just talks about the Bible. Now, who do you think is talking? The person? No. That's the devil. Because he's trying to discourage you from getting that thing that he fears most, the word of God. Not your intelligence, not your morality, none of those things. What he fears most is the word of God. So then, without doubt, the greatest weapon that we apply in resisting the devil is the word of God. However, there is also a secondary weapon that many believers seem to ignore in the face of temptation. But it's an important one. That weapon called prayer. Prayer. Now we do this because the Apostle Paul had addressed how a believer gets ready for spiritual combat. He included prayer. Now if you still, hopefully if you stay with Ephesians 6, look at verse 18. Ephesians 6 verse 18. It says, and pray in the Spirit. On some occasions, well, if you're looking at it now, you know, I wasn't there. He said, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Now remember the context. The context is how do you deal with the devil and his system. And the apostles, part of what he says, you use the sword, then the next thing you go to the level of prayer. Your primary weapon is the word of God. Your secondary weapon is prayer. I don't have to remind you that prayer is such a powerful weapon that you can use it, address the Lord, ask him, and he can do things that will baffle your imagination. So it is a very powerful weapon that he's left for us. Now that we are commanded here to pray in all occasions, then, you know, because that's what it says, pray in all occasions. Then all occasions will include those periods of temptation. So you and I should pray short prayers, of course, asking God's strength as we try to resist the devil using the word of God. But we have to pray so that we get the wisdom. In fact, our constant prayer should be that God will give us the wisdom that will allow us to sniff out the schemes of the devil. Sometimes it's very difficult to see it. That's why you pray, Father, give me the wisdom so I can walk like a dog that can sniff out cocaine. So in this way, what I'm saying is you pray for the wisdom to sniff out that scheme of the devil. James had already emphasized the importance of wisdom and how one should get it by praying. Hence, as we have wisdom that God gives, we will be in a position then to resist the devil. Now, we have mentioned how we resist the devil by battling with thoughts and actions that are contrary to God's word, but we should also be be practicing the word of God. We should practice it. And in practicing it, another practical thing that we do is we do not place ourselves in a position where Satan could outwit us. Could outwit us. You don't want to do that. For example, there is no need for a believer to place himself in a certain situation where he will be tempted, for example, I'll just pick one, let's just say sexual immorality. A believer doesn't even need to put himself or herself in an environment where that temptation is even possible. That's being wise. Or there's no need to be in the company of those who could influence you to do or act in a way that is contrary to God's word. In fact, we do well if we pay attention to the instruction of the Apostle Paul, who commands believers not even to give chance to the devil, even to try to outwit us. This is the command of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Ephesians 4:27. He says, "And do not give the devil a foothold." That's the point I'm making here. You don't even give the devil the chance, let alone finding out whether you're strong enough. He doesn't do that. Now, I want you to don't play by placing your self in a position where the enemy can track you or outwit you or come at you without you recognizing it. So the word foothold is actually translated from a Greek word that literally means a place. However, the word also has the meaning of a favorable circumstance for doing something. Hence, the Greek word translated foothold means opportunity, possibility. So really the instruction is that we are not to give Satan the slightest chance or possibility of doing his evil work with you. All the devil needs is a crack. A crack, that's all he needs. And once he leaves that crack open, he gets in and he does his destruction. So what this passage is telling you and I, don't even give in that crack. Try to close every leak. And you close it by saturating your soul with the word of God and applying it. Now we cannot possibly mention every situation that a believer should avoid, but a general principle that we should apply is simply to ask ourselves the question whether what we want to participate in or the place we want to go, could that make us vulnerable to the devil that we will not know when he will trick us? Your answer then should determine whether you will avoid that place or that occasion. In other words, it is not for me to say, don't go here, don't go there, but that you apply that principle. The principle, you look around it. If I go here, what's there? What do I expect to find? What's the environment I'm going to encounter? Is that environment conducive to my spiritual life? Does it have anything that's going to lead me astray? If the answer is yes, then by all means, avoid it. In that way, you don't leave the crack for the enemy to attack you. Now, there is an important factor though that we should emphasize that is involved in resisting the devil. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. No one can resist Satan or withstand him without the power supplied by God the Holy Spirit. See, you and I, we have no match to Satan. Since he is invisible to us, how can we deal with him? The only way to deal with him is with the invisible person, the Holy Spirit inside of us, And when he is controlling us, then we are able to resist the devil. Now the importance of the filling of the Spirit is underscored by the fact that Luke in his gospel was eager to tell us that Jesus was full of the Spirit before his temptation. So look at what he says in Luke chapter 4 verse 1. Luke while you open that Luke, you hold it a little bit because the next passage I will read will also be in the same Luke. Luke chapter 4, actually it's going to be the 4th chapter too. Luke chapter 4 verse 1, look at this is important statement. Say, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. Now, this is not an information that was just given to an idea. The issue is to tell us that Jesus Christ is going to withstand the devil because he's filled with the Spirit. Now, if the God-man had to be filled with the Spirit in order to withstand the devil, what chance do you and I have if we're not filled with the Spirit? So being filled with the Spirit is an essential condition for resisting the devil. Of course, filling up the Holy Spirit depends on obedience to God's word. In effect, resisting the devil reduces to the matter of obedience to God's word. You filled with the Spirit, then you resist the devil. You live in obedience, you fill with the Spirit. So it's all connected. Now, what then though is the benefit of resisting the devil? Someone may ask, because that's what it is then, resist the devil. Well, for a starter, one benefit is that we will maintain our friendship with God. If you resist the devil, you maintain your friendship with God. But James says another important result, which is that Satan will leave us alone for the time being, as in the clause of the passage we are studying in James, when it tells us he will flee from you. He will flee from you. Now it is important to observe that the promise given here is not that Satan will leave you alone permanently, but only that he will leave you alone temporarily. When the devil tempts us in a particular area and we stand our ground on the basis of the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, he will leave us for the moment, or avoid that particular area until when he finds an opportune time to try again. Now you've heard me said many times, you just think about it. Most of us are working 24/7, so to say, with few hours of sleep. You have other things that you do, you take care of. You have business or you go to work or other things that you have to take care of. So your mind goes from one thing to the other. But just think about it. The devil does nothing else. He has no other job 24/7. His job is to take you and I through the demons. So what do you think they do? They lock around, watch every move, looking for that crack. They see, they read everything, our facial expression, things we say, and they just keep reading all and all, looking for a crack. And when he does find that crack, he'll come right back. So this is why he doesn't leave us alone completely. And even when Allah was tested, tempted, we found that the same thing was said about him. Look at Luke 4 verse 13. Because it says, when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. You were born that after he has tried Christ, our Savior, for 3 times and failed miserably, then you will have got the message. No, he didn't. As I always think about it, the devil is hard of hearing. He doesn't take no for an answer. So he comes right back. But you see, he looks for an opportune time to come back. Now, resisting the devil is something that every believer that seeks fellowship with God must do. Now, for encouragement in this matter of resisting the devil, we should remember that there have been believers who have resisted him well before us. It is in recognition of this truth that led Peter to mention those who have struggled against Satan when he wrote in his epistle the same concept of resisting the devil that James said when we studied. Look at, listen to what Peter had to say in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 9. First Peter chapter 5 verses 8 to 9, and all the writers of the epistles, one way or the other, implied or directly or indirectly this issue of us dealing with resisting the devil. Here it says, 1 Peter 5, it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. So many believers of the past face the same kind of testing that the devil brings upon us and have lived victoriously. Therefore, we should be encouraged and assured that we can resist the devil. We're not alone. There have been people who have preceded us in faith and they succeeded. So this promise that Satan will flee when resisted reveals two things about Satan in his relationship with the believer. Because when he says resist him and he will flee from you, there are two things we know about the devil from that passage. First, Satan does not have the power to make us do anything that we don't want to do. That's the first thing. So this idea that Satan made me do something is incorrect. He merely suggests a course of action or thought, and we are free to accept or reject his suggestion. When we accept his suggestion, then we carry it out. But Satan could not directly carry out whatever he suggests without us being willing participants. That's the first thing we know. The second thing that we know is that indeed Satan is a coward and a bully, that God has given us the power to withstand him. So we should recognize that God has empowered us through the indwelling Holy Spirit to be able to withstand the devil. Again, let me emphasize that left on our own, we do not have the power to stand against the devil. Our defenses depend on the word of God, prayer, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Hence, to resist the devil requires that we constantly remain under the filling of the Spirit. The more you know the word of God, and the more you obey, then you will resist the devil more than those who do not know the word and who refuse to apply it. So again, let me ask you, do you want to be a friend of God? Do you want to enjoy the benefits of friendship with God? If so, you must resist the devil. You must not give him any room in your soul to distract you from being obedient to God's word. So really, stand up and rebel against Satan. God has given you the power to do so. Take up your responsibility. do not fall under the suggestion of Satan. Resist him, and you will get victory, because Satan will run away from you. This is God's promise. So, claim it and stop falling victim to Satan's deceit. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us to the truth so that we continue to be careful about this enemy. This is our request in Christ's name.